This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Another Blue Zones update and organization lead for Blue Zones, John Demoff. Thanks for coming in.
You bet. How are you, Kyle?
We're doing good. We've got a couple of guests we're going to get to in a moment here, but want to first of all sort of begin with what you've done with different organizations and businesses and nonprofits to gain Blue Zones approved status. And before we talk to the guests, talk about what's involved in that.
Mm-hmm. These are the places where we're spending the majority of our time. When we talk about organizations, we're looking at environments, we're looking at places, stores, restaurants, work sites, hospitals, even faith-based organizations, as we're going to hear about today. And we're looking at how we can tweak those places, support those places so that they have healthier choices available much more easily, much more readily available for the people who spend their time there.
And why do you feel like it's important for these groups to get involved? A lot of people would kind of look at participation as being an individual thing that each person kind of decides
right.
on their own.
Well, some people would say the worst thing an alcoholic can do is go spend the majority of their time in a bar. Or another way of putting it, it's really hard to change yourself and spend a lot of time in an unchanged environment. Willpower only takes us so far. And so what we've realized is that helping people, supporting them by surrounding them in places that are conducive to the direction they want to move in is really one of the best things we can do for long-term well-being. Short-term well-being, we're all making decisions all the time, but eventually we know willpower fades and we succumb to our habits. We're creatures of habits. So what we want to do is make it a lot easier where these organizations can actually participate in a evidence-based, science-based program that allows them to support their staff, their employees, their members with these positive focus changes that is in line with the direction not only that their members, their employees want to go in, but also as the community as a whole wants to go in, which is why we are why we even got this project called Blue Zones going on.
Between businesses, nonprofits, churches, and any idea how many organizations are linked in now?
Yeah, well, I get asked that, and so I've actually had to count them. I mean, I personally work with over 60 organizations in the Roseburg area. I have a feeling that there's many more, actually, that are participating that aren't necessarily under the official kind of designation, but they're encompassing all different sectors of our community. And so what you get is kind of a community impact model, you could say, or just a giant team of people all working together in a way they haven't ever before.
Well, we're going to talk to one of those folks now, Laleen Fifield, the leader of the Umpqua Unitarian Universalist Congregation. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for asking me. It's exciting for me to be here.
So talk about what the process was for your group to get involved, and how's it changed your organization?
Well, my process individually started with attending a MOI, which is a walking group, and then joining a purpose group, and finding it to be incredibly fulfilling and satisfying and life-changing. And I'm part of the Umpqua Unitarian Universalist Congregation, which is following, I guess, the path of so many churches. Our members are in their 90s and their 80s and their 70s. Our membership was declining. People were having difficulty, just really being a community. And I really believe that Blue Zones offered us something to stop that process. The end result is absolutely a turnaround. Our membership is growing, which is very different from some of the other congregations in the area. And we did so many things, but I think the two most important things right off the bat was food. Every Sunday after service, we served, a little dib and a little dab of that, nothing particularly healthy. And I looked at that, and as we were forming a wellness group to examine this process, I thought, we need to eat together. We have elderlies who are going back, to assisted living facilities or are going home alone. So we now serve amazing full-course meals. We feed probably 50 people every Sunday. And folks stay. I mean, they stay and they talk. The second biggest thing I think we've done is we've really grown what we call our Care and Concerns Committee. It's probably one of the largest in the congregation. And if we have 50 active members, we've got 20 on that committee. And a part of our service every Sunday is people get up and share a joy or concern happening in their life if they choose to do that. Well, that committee makes notes. And we do things throughout the week that are amazing. If we have someone going daily for radiation treatment for cancer, there's a different congregant taking that person every day and spending time with them, taking them back home. We make meals and take to congregants. Somebody's been in the hospital and they're now home. We make sure that there's somebody there to provide for them. We take meals. We send birthday cards, which is all we used to do, but now we send get well cards and we make phone calls and we check up on people. And an example of the most amazing thing I have ever seen is one of our older congregants in her 90s who has lived alone independently decided she really needed to go into an assisted living facility because she was aging and she had a house. And one day, a congregant stood up and she was in desperate straits. She needed to leave her home and make a change, and she had to do it right away. And this woman, this 90-year-old woman, said, "I'm moving next week. You can have my house." Now, that woman didn't stop there, and this was only about 4 weeks ago. She's now in the process at the assisted living facility that she's moving in, Garden Valley, of organizing her own kind of purpose group with the other four or five Unitarians that are in that assisted living facility. So that's just one of the, or several of the kinds of examples of how community is just spreading throughout the congregation. I don't feel like that church is going to die before I hit 90, and I'm 78. And at the age of 78, I feel like I have a lot more energy today than I had a year or two ago because we are involved in so many things. The downside, well, I do have a lot of energy and I do participate in a lot of activities, and my investment in the Unitarian community has taken me out of other activities in the community that might have gotten my investment, but I don't regret that at all. And the second amazing thing is this is the first membership I've ever had in a church. So I arrived in my 70s with actually no church affiliation, and I saw such an important thing possible and happening there that I've really decided that my spiritual world and the community I spend it with is where I want to invest my energy. So I'd say on a personal level, you know, that's a huge change.
Lillian Fifield from Umpqua Unitarian Universalist, thanks for coming in and tell us your story.
Well, thanks for having us, and good luck to everyone else, and especially in the faith community who decides to go through that process.
All right, more on Inside Douglas County when we come back. Our next guest ahead, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1243 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246, Lars Larson Show coming up at 1 later today, KQAN Local Talk at 4, and David Littlejohn will have True Wealth. We're giving you a Blue Zones update, getting to hear from a couple of different organizations. A second one, Dr. Greg Brigham from ADAPT, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting us, Kyle.
So talk about getting involved with Blue Zones. I mean, at ADAPT, you've got a lot going on. It's tough work. It's very important work. And I sometimes, when somebody says, "What if we also worked on this?" I'm sure it'd be easy to go, "Okay, we've got a full plate here, taking care of drug and alcohol counseling and various services that are available." So why did ADAPT jump on board and become Blue Zones approved?
So you're right. There's always more opportunities to do things than there's time and resources to do it. So that we got involved with Blue Zones says a lot about how important we. feel the Blue Zones process is. We supported the original grant to bring Blue Zones to our community. So we've been supportive of it as a community-wide effort, and we've adopted it and become a certified employer for ourselves. So ADAPT is a organization dedicated to the health of the community. We provide primary care, behavioral health services, and substance use disorder services. Our mission is to provide world-class services to our community and increase the health and well-being. So we do that through our employees. The backbone of our organization is the people who work there. So unless we're caring for each other and for them, we're not able to realize our mission. So we're a nonprofit, which means we're very mission-driven. We're owned by our mission. The mission to provide this community health services is evident throughout our governance and our management and our provider staff and really everywhere. And the Blue Zone's sense of purpose and dedication to health and improving well-being just lines up very well with our organization. So it's been very complimentary.
So before this process got started, what did you know about Blue Zones personally?
Really very little. I had heard about it, and I learned about it through the grant process, that there were these nine strategies for improving health, and that it was based on communities around the world that had exceptional longevity in life and good health. But that was about it.
So what steps did you do as you started through this process that led to becoming Blue Zones approved?
Yeah, so I think it's been engagement at all levels of the organization. So we've had leadership commitment and board commitment, but we've also had workers who have really jumped in and done the lion's share of the work to bring us up to certification. But we've invested in resources like standing desks and healthier food options in place. And those are some of the strategies we've taken to move forward.
And for people individually, and how many staff do you have?
A little over 400.
And so for people individually, what kind of differences have you seen as folks got on board with this?
So it's interesting. We had a discussion a while back about this, just what are people seeing and what's happening. And one of our staff described it as just nudges in the right direction. So people still have, you know, their choices, and they can choose to engage in a healthier behavior or not. It's up to them. They're not judged based on that. But, for example, in our break room, we've always had sort of snacks and candies and crackers and all that stuff around that people could come and purchase. But now we supply a free alternative that is fruit or vegetables or a healthy choice. So I see a lot of people really enjoying having that alternative available and making that choice. We've always had people that like to go out and walk on their breaks and get some fresh air, but now they're organized into groups, so it's really a greater commitment to doing that on a regular basis and building it into their lifestyle. And so we're parking farther away, and it's very reinforcing to say, well, I didn't just get the worst parking spaces farthest from the building. I actually got the Blue Zone spot, so I'm winning by having a little longer walk and just putting so having that natural movement, building it into our day, not having to block out a time to go work out, but building more steps, more standing, more activity-oriented socializing just into our everyday life.
Do you have staff that maybe as they are discussing a case or a particular client or whatever, and sometimes that requires, I know, lengthy meetings in the type of work that you do, go out and sort of walk through the neighborhood to do the meeting?
Yes, people are doing standing meetings. Not all of our meetings are standing, and not all of our equipment is supportive of that, but it's within our culture now for people to stand during meetings if they are inclined to, and smaller groups do go on walks to discuss projects or have meetings.
So, John, when you hear about organizations, you know, when you see the result, that's got to be pretty gratifying.
It is. It's actually one of the highlights of this job is getting to meet amazing people and actually getting to know some of the amazing organizations we have here, like ADAPT. It's been really impressive to see what they do and the changes that they're making, not only aside from Blue Zones Project, because ADAPT is doing wonderful things in our area, but to see how they've been able to mobilize around this concept with their leadership team having a regular spot on their agenda to talk about well-being through the Blue Zones Project, and also actually igniting a wellness committee, an employee-led wellness committee that's actually regularly meeting to look at how to improve and how to get more well-being programs into the organization. So it's a lot of fun and hugely rewarding. You're totally right.
Dr. Brigham, I know people that are in fields like yours tell me it's really important that the people that work in those fields take care of themselves because they've got a lot on their shoulders. How have you seen these Blue Zones principles helping with that process with some of your staff?
Well, you're right. A lot of people that come to us are in distress themselves, and engaging with those folks is a stressful thing. And that is something that weighs on our staff. So within the Blue Zones, it gives us an opportunity to talk about, you know, taking a time out, taking a break, taking a walk, refreshing yourself, forming purpose groups. We're a very mission-driven organization, so that's a nice alignment with us. But helping people understand and think about and bond with others around what gets them out of bed in the morning and brings them into work. So I think a combination of self-care, but also of finding the purpose in the daily activities.
So do you have future plans to develop this further?
Yeah, so it's right now we're probably most robust in this model at our Madrone location. That's our biggest location where most of our employees are, but we are dedicated to getting this translated into as many of our office locations as we can and justify it on the scale. So yes, we're looking to for better penetration. We're still building up in terms of equipment and making these options more available. We're looking at designs where we might have a better sense of community around break rooms or snack areas or lunch areas. So we have a lot of plans for where we'd like to go with it. And of course, as an employer, one of our major expenses aside from salary are healthcare benefits. And we think we could also make a business argument for this better care of ourselves and of our employees by, you know, healthy employees are less costly and more productive.
And it's interesting, as this process of Blue Zones began in the last couple of years, somewhere along the way, there was somebody in town that talked to me that I already knew and said, well, okay, it's, you know, if people want to do that, that's fine, but I don't really care what my employees do other than the 8 hours, 9 hours that they're in my building working. I don't care what they eat like, and I don't care whether they exercise or not. And I kind of listened to that, and somewhere along the way, I think it was a future conversation, I said, do you think, you know, that you would have better employees, though, if they were exercising, eating better, taking better care of themselves?
So I could respond to that on a lot of levels. I think there's a good business model for caring about this, because those costs do come back to us. You know, controlling healthcare costs is one of our least controllable spending categories, but we also care about these people. And so our values are to, you know, to support our coworkers. These are people we build relationships with, and they're a part of our community. So I think you can also make the sort of ethical argument that this is the right thing to do, and people respond to that.
So John, talk a little bit, we've got about a minute and a half left, talk a little bit about the process if somebody at a company or organization, church, whatever, wants to explore this idea.
Just reach out, get in touch with us. We will set up an opportunity for us to get together, talk about what you want to do. Every place is different. It's not a cookie cutter model at all. It's not about just getting recognition. It's about making real changes. And so we're not really going to know what needs to be done until we learn about the place and what you want to do. Every place is different. And so we would like to customize it. We would like to support organizations around our community in whatever way they need. And we're lucky that we have this program here because it provides for us a real scientific evidence-based model to integrate these well-being changes that we know have led to the long lives of these Blue Zones populations around the world. So it's so much fun to see the personal changes that we're seeing right now, transformations in health, organizations noticing from the different standpoints of directors or employees seeing changes. But over the years to come, we undoubtedly will also see the things that Dr. Brigham has mentioned, the increase in productivity, the lowering of healthcare costs that we know happen in other communities years down the road.
All right, just about out of time. Organizationally, there we go. John Dimoff from Blue Zones Project Umpqua, Dr. Greg Brigham of ADAPT, and in our first segment, Elaine Fifield from Umpqua Unitarian Universalist Congregation. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.